Hey, boys and girls, it's your old pal Dave here to tell you about ShirtPunch.com. That's right, ShirtPunch is the best place on the internet to grab limited edition pop culture t-shirts. They do new designs every day, which are only up for 24 hours at $10 each. They do shirts with glow-in-the-dark and metallic prints as well. And they have a selection gallery up all the time for some of the best t-shirts that you can get. If you're a fan of comics, games, horror, and much more, you should check back daily for some of the greatest pop culture t-shirts. And right now, if you use the promo code POD10, you'll get a 10% discount off of your order. They ship internationally, North America to Australia, and everywhere in between. So check them out, shirtpunch.com, and don't forget to use the promo code POD10 at checkout for 10% off.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people.
Right.
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
Quarter pounder
with cheese in France, Mickey. What? Royale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice that my progeny to you, almighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And JD.
JD's back!
I've returned.
You've flown in back to Chicago, and boy, your arm's tired.
Sorry. I was tired. That was for sure.
You're back from putting this from all your boys putting the smackdown on all comers, right?
Yeah, we did good, man. Team Ellen did well. It was really kind of cool. I had two kids that are brothers that wrestled in the same weight class, and they each made the finals and were named co-champions, which is pretty cool, because that was going to be an ugly situation if they had to wrestle each other. So worked out good.
How old?
Well, that'd probably just be par for course, because they're brothers. Brothers fight, so
I would have had to run out in the middle of the mat and break up a fist fight, which I didn't want to do, and his parents certainly didn't want that to happen. So USA Wrestling made the right decision.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're glad you're back.
Me too.
We had two fill-in co-hosts while you were out, and thanks to Steve and Joe for filling in those 2 weeks, and I'm sure you didn't listen to those episodes, JD.
I didn't listen to anything over the last 2 weeks, with the exception of The Outsider by Stephen King.
Ah.
Which was terrifying. But, I've been living on another planet for the last almost 3 weeks now, so it's weird to get home and have to try to get back to a normal person's life.
Or your life. Whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first.
Cool. Have you been up to anything exciting this week, John?
Nope. Just getting ready to go on vacation for the next 3 days. And trying to mind soap my brain from the Titans trailer. And screaming at my screen over James Gunn. But, either way.
All right. Well, of course, we're going to get to all of that. We're definitely going to cover everything that came out of San Diego Comic-Con this year. It's always a great week for us because a lot of news comes out. We don't have to think much, except for this year.
Yeah.
Though, real quick, before we get to any of that, just a couple of things a couple of shout-outs we got that I wanted to mention on our Twitter, the land of everything calm and safe, on our,
maybe compared to 4chan, but
on our, Ant-Man review, arguing with myself podcast, came back and said, got to listen to this episode today. Great job. I really enjoyed Ant-Man the Wasp. You all hit the points that resonate with me as well. In fact, as I was listening, you made me appreciate the film more. So thanks for those kind words. We really appreciate when people, you know, give us feedback on the show. And speaking of feedback on the show, we have a new iTunes review I wanted to mention. So Timmy G is awesome. Gave us 5 stars and said, another solid comic book podcast. This one actually breaks from the guys sitting around talking comics format and adds interviews and with creators so you get insight from the artists behind your favorite characters. So
also we can't read apparently.
Yeah, we can talk to them, but we can't read their work. So thank you, Timmy G. And if you want us, we're going to try to do more interactions on our social media and more shout outs. So if you give us a shout out, we'll shout you out on the show. So, you know, you should be following us at Superhero Speak on Twitter or jump onto iTunes and give us a review. Cool. So with that fun business out of the way, we can start. So San Diego Comic-Con was this past weekend. Anyone was there except for us. And, well, DC obviously had a much bigger showing this year. Marvel, is doing most of their stuff at D23 and their own little shows here and there. But, DC had a lot of news, starting with they revealed all the details of their DC universe and announced the pricing. So it's going to be $75 for a year or $8 a month for a monthly subscription.
Now, could you remind them what the DC universe is beyond the DC universe?
Well, so the DC universe includes all of their TV shows and cartoons that involve any DC characters. It has original programming that's going to be on there, starting with, season 3 of Young Justice. The Titans live-action TV show. There's going to be a Gotham City Sirens that revolves around Harley Quinn, plus any other of the movies that we love that they produce. And then they're all going to have comics available to download to read. And they're going to have a shop, right? And then there's going to be fan interaction, where there's going to be, like, Facebook or one of those. There's going to be groups where you can talk to people and talk about the shows that you're watching and whatnot. So,
and the Titans trailer, they lowered the price.
So what do you guys think? Is it something, like, so we talked a little bit last week, he was here. JD, is something you need to work? We lose JD.
No, I had mute on accident.
Oh, okay.
And I was talking and I'm like, what's going on here? Sorry. No, I'm gonna, I don't know, man, $75 for a year isn't bad when you break it down. It's actually pretty cheap. $8 a month. It's cheaper than all the other streaming services, but you just start nickel and diming. My wife is a gigantic fan of Young Justice. So the only way she's going to get season 3 is if we do this, and we would probably wind up doing it for a year. I don't know. Like, they talked about comics being on there too, but they hasn't really said what books are going to be on there. Like, they've been very cloak and dagger about that. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm really kind of torn on this. I think we're going to wind up giving it a shot, but I'm not completely sold on it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I probably would do a month to month and try it for a month or two and see if it's worth it. But yeah, it's just like, other than the Young Justice, and then the other thing is, they do say select comics, right? So it isn't the entire DC library like the Marvel Unlimited is, but
a curated list is what it says, which is a nice way of saying a handful of books. Yeah. And I don't know who's choosing or why they're choosing. And I realize that DC's got a lot bigger a library than Marvel.
Right.
But I don't know, man. Marvel's offering you so much with their app. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this one. I really don't. I guess I have to play with it before I make a decision.
Right. So the speaking of the DC Universe, they did show us the trailer for the flagship show for their app, Titans. I think I got an idea what John thought of it. But John, why don't you elaborate, since you said you had a Titans and You story?
All I can say, well, okay, so my short Titans story, my Teen Titans Go story, is that you know that I've hated that ever since they killed the original series and went with Teen Titans Go, which is basically, as far as I can tell, brainless. But I caught one episode just out of pure luck. I had one on in the background when I was in Minecraft, and it was the show with the TV villain. You probably know which one I'm talking about. The villain who controls TVs or whatever.
Control Freak.
And Control Freak. Okay. So, and they did a riff on how many times he's gotten the Teen Titans canceled, and they went with the show, and then they had the Teen Titans Go characters watching the old Teen Titans animated show, and the writers basically had the characters say everything that I was thinking. I'm like, okay, so at least you understand where we're coming from. So the show has redeemed itself in my eyes just the slightest bit.
Okay. So two things on that real quick. We are talking about Titans, not Teen Titans Go. And yes, two, yes. Then, the movie comes out this weekend, and it currently has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So go ahead. What did you think of this?
This is the one that has him saying F Batman.
No, that's not what has 100%. That's the Teen Titans Go movie has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. But yes, it's the one where he said F Batman.
Okay.
Is the right. What we're talking about.
Right. The Titans. We're not talking Teen Titans, we're talking Titans. Right. Mm-hmm. So Titans the movie, I just the writing is this trailer is so bad that it's like, you know, every line is like a cliche, and it looks like it was a trailer, a fan-made trailer, you know?
Yeah.
It's just dark and dreary, and, you know, everybody's angsty, and it's not the characters. The characters, like, with Beast Boy is the happy-go-lucky. Starfire is supposed to be this, you know, naive, very powerful person, but earnest. And Robin or Nightwing is supposed to be a leader. But they've made them. I do not like this trailer. I do not like where this movie's going. And I think
it's not a
DC is going to, they're going to make another huge mistake. It looks like CW if it took a Valium.
Well, it is Berlanti. And I do think that the original idea was going to be on the CW until they decided to create the app. So they went a little edgier.
Not just a little edgier. They got them shooting people and killing people. Come on.
All right. I agree. They lost me as soon as Robin said, fuck Batman. It was just like.
Yeah, me too. Like, yep.
Really?
Oh, we can say that on this show?
I was trying to just allude to it, but you know.
This isn't Twitter, so we're allowed to say it. But
Well, fuck this trailer.
Oh good, you too?
Man, it is just so everything I hate about the DC. What I hated about the DC extended, or what was formerly known as the DC extended universe, I think they called it, their movie universe. Mm-hmm. They seem to have channeled that. It was like, yeah, man, like, we're not in the CW now, so now we can have, like, blood and swearing and stuff. It's badass. That's exactly how I felt.
I mean, and just, again, the writing, that one line, I thought, I used to think there weren't monsters, but now I know better. It's like, dude, that's a line from almost every bad movie I've ever seen. Come on.
Well, not only that, like, well, is this Dick Grayson? I mean, they showed the Flying Graysons and all that in the preview.
Well, it's gotta be. Yeah.
But yet, he seems to be acting like Tim Drake or Damien. And it's
Damien, right.
And it's like, no, don't mix up your characters. Like, if you want to bring in Damien, then make him Damien. You want him to be Jason Todd, have him be Jason Todd. Don't take the fun-loving Dick Grayson and make him dark. It's just, it doesn't work.
But even Damien isn't like that.
No, not
Todd. the other guy, yeah, but not Damien. Damien was more calculating, you know? He was Damien, angry, but he wasn't.
He's also 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree too, John, with the fan-made feeling, especially the last special effect with Raven. It was just like, that looked like something you could do on your computer, like you or I could do on our computer with a camcorder, you know?
Was it just me, or is Raven a belly dance away from, and a sky beam away from this being Suicide Squad? We put together a bunch of heroes. We call them the Teen Titans. Oh, one of them went crazy. There's Trigon. Here we go. Secretly the bad girl. Bad guy. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
How about that horrible song, too?
Yeah. Ooh. Again, fan-made. It just, the whole thing feels fan-made. And not good fan-made, you know? Like the Voltron trailer that they put out or anything like that. It's just feels really bad.
I actually was listening to Fans of Patrol on my way home from work, and shout out to Montego and those guys. I can't remember if it was Montego or Tiff that said this, but they were like, you know, okay, you want to go dark, you want to go somewhere different with these characters, but you're trying, this is a new app. You don't have a fan base yet. Like, you got to suck in the hardcores first to get other people to jump on board. And this is not something that's going to attract the hardcore fans, because none of the characters look like they do in the comics. Not look, but are acting the way they do in the comics or the cartoons. Like, no one's going to watch this that's a true DC fan.
Yeah. And just to add about the pricing for the DC Universe, the Ultimate DC membership, whatever. This compartmentalization of all this entertainment, you have to buy into CBS in order to see Star Trek. You have to buy into DC Universe in order to get Teen Titans. You have to buy into Marvel to get the Marvels. Nobody has that money. There's just not enough.
When these apps fail, these shows will end up on Netflix anyway. So. We'll just wait.
Actually, I'm thinking it's going to be worse. It's literally going to be, you know, you're going to find them on YouTube or one of the lesser known websites where you can just watch them there, and people watch them for free instead of if you put it on Netflix and you get a percentage of the price. Yeah, you won't be getting. I was going to say you're not going to get as much. But because of their pricing, they'll probably make less this way than would have on Netflix. Right. So, no.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I think the greed of the short-term reason outweigh how successful they're going to do. Like, I don't know if this app is going to be an overwhelming success. I really don't. Like, I just don't know if there's enough content.
Yeah, and that you can see, this is something that happens in big corporations. It's this, you know, oh, we have enough. The people will come for our stuff. You know, we have our own streaming site,
right,
and we'll make gobs of money off of it. They don't realize, or they're kind of ensconced in this little mini echo chamber. You know, this is going to work out. And
the most perfect example of that is Justice League. Like, people are going to come see this just because of Batman and Superman. People are going to see this just because it's Batman and Superman on screen together. And
or like you said, you'll try it out for a month. You'll watch the team, or you'll wait. I don't know. Are they doing the Netflix results?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll spend $7.99 for a month to watch that, and you'll never pay again until maybe something else comes up. Right. So they're not going to get that $7.99 monthly anyway.
Well, then after the Titans, though, they did another show that's going to be on there. Maybe this will attract you. Stargirl. Stargirl's going to get her own series on DC Universe.
Now, if I did that, I'd get, and I'd say, you know, I'm kind of excited, but this is DC.
I don't have an issue one way or the other. Like, they use the character, they used her on Smallville, and they used her on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
And I think it's a spinoff from that character from Legends of Tomorrow. That's all well and good, but is she a popular enough character to carry her own show?
No, just really.
I don't know. I know this, well, you're arguing Stargirl, that Jeff Johns' character, it's basically sister. He's one that's got a really close source. He's easily the one advocating it. I don't know. I think if you're going to do something like this is the best place to put it. It would be on an app where it doesn't need to live or die in its own merits. Like, it's going to be, it's either, it's going to exist, right? It's probably only going to be one season and they'll get it. It'll just be there. Like, it's, I don't think this one's offensive to me. Like, I don't, I'm not interested in it. I'm knowing it. Like, I just, I'm hearing about it. Like, it doesn't grab me, but I get it.
Right. Okay. I mean, I don't
There's a million things I'd rather see. Yeah. Honestly, there's a million other things I'd rather see, but
other,
I don't know.
Other than her being in Justice Society, I don't know much about Stargirl. So, yeah. And then DC did have some redeeming things, I believe, from this convention. I'm going to go a little out of order than what's in the email. I'm going to start with the Aquaman trailer. I actually... It was kind of excited to see Aquaman after seeing this trailer.
Me too.
Now I'll make that a third. I was surprised.
I think the best description I heard of it, no offense to Jason Momoa or anyone over at Warner Brothers. I don't know if they did this on purpose, but underwater Thor.
Oh,
that's a great way to put it. That's a, I mean, like in this, when you're marketing these days, that you really need that. Oh, it's like this to mm-hmm. grab people. And I think that's a smart way to market it. And it took too long for Thor movies to really feel like Thor. Like the first Thor movie is kind of like Masters of the Universe, to yeah. be quite honest with you. Would I like it? But I like them. Don't get me wrong. But the third Thor was great. It seems like they're just going for that mood right away. Hey, here's Atlantis. Boom.
Right.
You know, I'm down. I like what they're doing with this. Much to my surprise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and I was shocked with how the Black Manta costume looked, and I'm like, let's just go with it. Let's not worry about, does it look super realistic, or, you know, does it look silly? Like, no.
It looked like Black Manta,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Wow,
okay.
That's three thumbs that up. Easy. Let's see, let's hope the audience feels the same way. And then, of course, the big one. I think this one was Ooh. Better than the Aquaman trailer.
Yeah, Chuck Zan.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Before I do that.
Chuck Zan.
I forgot. Talking about interaction, I put out polls for these three trailers over the weekend. So the first one is, what did you think of the official Titans trailer? They were given three options. Can't wait for the show. Meh, looks all right. And Teen Titans Go is better. This was basically a three-way split with can't wait for the show edging it out at 34%, and the other two got 33%. So I think that does reflect, like, kind of what we're feeling, like, you know, doesn't look that great. So, yes. And then for the Aquaman trailer, real quick, the poll was, what did you think of the Aquaman trailer? And the options were, looks awesome, can't wait, hopefully better than JL, Justice League, and then Warner Brothers DC should just stop. That option got 13%. 31% was hopefully better than JL. And 56% was looks awesome, can't wait. So there you go. Our audience agrees with us there. So that's good to hear. Now, Shazam.
Chuck Zam.
JD, you were 100% right with the tone of this movie. And the casting of, what's his name?
Zachary Levi.
Yes. Like he's like a big dumb kid who gets these powers. And,
can you just repeat that? Can you repeat that again?
He's a big dumb kid who gets.
No. The part where you said I was right. Oh. I just like hearing it.
JD, you were right.
That's Zachary Levi's personality working for him.
Well, that's good casting, though. That's what you want to do.
Oh, like, yeah.
This is awesome. Like, this is exactly what a what a Shazam movie should be. That was actually an accident. That actually was, I wish I was that slick, but that actually was an accident. I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah.
I can't wait either. It looks good. And I mean, there's going to be some situations there. They're going to be kind of cringy, but in a good way.
But it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a little cringy. Like, there's nothing serious about, like, if you look at those old Fawcett Captain Marvel stories, they're silly. You know, they're tongue in cheek before tongue in cheek was a thing. You know, and I like when you tweak it a little bit to be serious sometimes, but Captain Marvel works better when it's only serious sometimes. Yeah. He talks to a tiger. You know, right. I mean, like, and you have to have that tone with that character.
Right.
Trying to darken him at all, he just becomes another guy, and you lose what makes Shazam cool. Right. I can't believe someone at Warner Brothers got it.
Now, I'm not looking for dark, but you have to remember that one of Shazam's powers is the wisdom of Solomon, right? So he can't be acting completely stupid.
But right? There's stupid and there's immature, like.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
I work with a lot of smart kids that do dumb things, and it's not because they're stupid, it's because they're immature. Young. Right. And that's part of the beauty of this character. And that's why I think this movie the tone needs to be exactly what it is. And then in the sequel, when The Rock comes along playing Black Adam, we can get it a little bit darker because we've already got it established. And you've got this really great duality with what it's supposed to be. We're, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam is supposed to be kind of light and fun. And Black Adam is supposed to be the dark reflection of that. Like, mm-hmm. There's no better example of a mirror image in superhero comics. But now that you've taken a full movie to establish what Shazam is supposed to be, Captain Marvel or Black Adam is going to work so much better.
Oh
well, and well, finally DC does something right that they didn't have him on right away.
Yeah,
and
here's what's crazy. Before we even go, like, have we really agreed that DC that this year at San Diego Comic Con, Marvel or DC Warner has done a better job with movies than they have with television?
Oh yeah,
that's weird.
None of those movies are out yet. I'm going to withhold until we actually see the movies.
Fair enough.
But
I mean, the one thing I was going to, last thing I was going to say, before I talk about the poll results, was I really liked that they showed Billy standing up to those bullies picking on his foster brother, you know, in the beginning of the trailer, showing like there's already that in him. You know,
yes.
It's not, yep. He was given this mantle and all of a sudden he decided to do good. Like there, that spark to be good was already in him.
Well, that was always part of the character anyway.
Yeah.
He was always good. That was the reason why he was chosen. Cause he was right. Willing to fight back.
No, I agree, but like they don't always get that right in movies. So
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Especially these movies.
Yes. Hmm. So of course,
true that.
Our poll on Twitter was, what did you think of, the official Shazam movie trailer? And, looks awesome. Can't wait. Was the first option. Has to be better than, Justice League, and meh, I'll wait for the video.
You should have had another one that said, are you sure this is DC? sure this isn't Marvel?
So,
16%. Here's what's great. Like, before even going into this, but haven't Warner even, they've embraced what we talk about on the show. Like, we said a million times, don't try to follow the Marvel way of having everything succinct and work together. Just make movies.
That means.
Just do your own thing. That means. It's great. They're embracing it.
Somebody at Warner Brothers is listening to this podcast.
Oh, hire me.
you should hire him. Yeah.
16% said, meh, I'll wait for video. 33% said has to be better than Justice League, and 51% looks good, awesome, can't wait. So, again, the our followers are agreeing with us. So, cool. I think that's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, that's everything that I picked to talk about from DC. Was there any other DC news that came out of San Diego you guys wanted to talk about before we move across the aisle? To our friends at Marvel.
Yeah, to the other stuff.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So, Marvel, like I said at the top, did not... Oh, of course, Real quick, DC did show previews for the next seasons for all their CW shows, but we'll talk about them more as the season gets closer for the shows. So
yeah, not impressed with some of them. I'm kind of wondering what's going
to
happen.
That's why I said we'll wait to talk about them. So Marvel teases the return of Uncanny X-Men. Apparently they made an announcement on the last day, with no details, other than they are bringing back the book Uncanny X-Men, which they haven't produced in, was it 4 or 5 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. So
is that because they've got the characters back now?
Most likely. you know, Wolverine came back from the dead, and the Fantastic Four are coming back, and now Uncanny X-Men. So
they must have played a country record backwards. Yes. The car gets fixed, the wife comes back, the dog comes rises from the dead.
I mean, this comes along with the announcement that this, you know, X-Men Black Magneto number one is going to be out by Chris Claremont and Dalibor Talajic. I don't know that person. X-Men Black, Emma Frost number one, Leah Williams and Earth Bachelo, Mojo number one, Scott Arukman and Nick Bradshaw, Mystique number one, Sean McGuire and Marco Fallia. God, I'm so bad with names, and no one's stopping me.
Are you saying X-Men is getting its mojo back?
And Juggernaut number one by Robbie Thompson and Sean Crystal. They're all the X-Men Black books that are coming out. And yes, they said all this, and of course they announced Uncanny, but no, they didn't say who the creative team was or when it's coming back. So I guess we'll keep an eye out for that.
I'm excited to have new Chris Claremont stuff. I mean, I know it's not the cool thing to say that you like Chris Claremont's X-Men, but I loved Chris Claremont's X-Men. So
you've said that before on this show.
I have, and I'll keep saying it.
Well, you're not one of the cool kids that.
I never have been.
in a bizarre. Okay, before we talk about this next article, JD, when we talked about Luke Cage, you hadn't watched all of the episodes yet.
Yes.
Have you?
Finished? Have you?
No.
Have you gotten to episode 10?
No. I haven't done anything. I've been on the road for 3 weeks.
Damn. Busy. You. So you haven't seen the Iron Fist episode on Luke Cage?
I have not. Have not.
Have you heard about it? Has anyone said
it? We talked about it on the show.
Okay, yeah. So along with that, of course, they showed the trailer for Iron Fist Season 2. And with that, the premiere date, which is September, what was it? Does anyone remember? I don't have the article up. September 7th, there we go. So it'll be back September 7th, of course, on Netflix, all episodes available at once. And they don't show you much in the trailer now, do they?
No.
It's just a real quick fight in the street. One of the bad guys gets knocked over, and we're seeing the fight through his eyes at that point, and he takes the Iron Fist and slams it in the ground and creates a tidal wave, and it ends. And there, the whole time there's a voiceover about a war in the streets, and these are now his streets. So we'll see. Again, if the episode of Luke Cage with him is any indication of the Danny Rand we're going to get in Season 2, I can't wait. So.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know. They should just retcon the rest of the first Iron Fist and from the Defenders. just retcon him out. Let this one be the one we remember.
And then, of course, in the, you know, tongue-in-cheek category, Marvel offered grief counseling to traumatized fans over Infinity War.
That's so awesome.
They set up a little place not far from the convention center where they had a grief counselor. You could go in and talk about it. And then they had these giant cutouts with actual hands sticking out of them. That was the Hulk. And it was hashtag group hug. They're going to ride that wave for a while, aren't they? Yes.
Right up until next year.
Yes. All right. So that was cool. Now I guess we'll get to it.
The main event.
Yeah, the main event of the evening. So as you may or may not have heard, boys and girls, James Gunn is no longer directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He was fired.
This was...
He was fired by Marvel after some of his questionable very, tweets, say.
Very old tweets.
The age has nothing to do with it, but we'll get into that.
It does. It
came
does.
Back to light. And, so he's no longer directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Okay, so John, since you seem to have a lot to say, I'll let you go first.
Well, first, you got to understand this was politically motivated. This was because James Gunn was tweeting about his opposition to President Trump. And then a bunch of guys from, The Daily Caller went after him. What was his name? Mike Cernovich. They systematically went looking for dirt to take him down with. And these tweets are from 2008 to 2011. And if they can go after anybody for old tweets, then they can probably take down just about anybody on the web. Except for old guys like me where, you know, all my stuff when I was that age and doing and saying edgy stuff, that was on MySpace and you'll never find that because MySpace is dead. But the thing is that, people grow. I mean, a good example of this would be somebody, Dave, you know, what's his name on YouTube that we both watch?
Philip DeFranco.
Philip DeFranco. Yeah. So Philip DeFranco 10 years ago said really bad, edgy stuff, you know, stuff that would get you kicked off normally, but he grew and he matured and now he hates himself for that stuff and he's apologized for it. There are a lot of people online that have grown up online and have bad stuff in their past, but they're not those people anymore. And the same thing can be said of James Gunn. Everybody on the Guardians of the Galaxy cast is sticking by him. Patton Oswalt was defending him. And of course, that whole group from the Daily Caller went after him and started misquoting him, some of his tweets. So this was politically motivated. Yeah, he should have never tweeted that stuff, but he grew past it. He had apologized for it way before this ever happened. And I think this is just stupid that anybody can be caught like this.
JD, what's your opinion?
This was hard for me. I talked about, you know, I've mentioned on the show before that the Guardians 1 is my favorite Marvel movie. I enjoy his work. I enjoy his Twitter, the stuff I've read from him lately. I agree with it. I think it's impossible to talk about this particular thing without talking about politics.
Yeah.
When I read about what he tweeted back in the day, it's not funny. It's gross. Like, I know he said he was trying to be a provocateur and edgy, and it isn't funny. So I haven't weighed on this because I've actually been thinking about it for a long time. The problem with this is comes from Mike Cernovich, who's, I'm going to get political here. He's not a good person. He's a bad guy who's obsessed with pedophilia. Like, anyone who's an enemy of this guy is a pedophile. This is the guy who started the whole Pizzagate thing.
Oh, yeah, and let me just add to you this. You can add this. One of his own tweets was, and this is a direct quote, "Have you guys ever tried raping a girl without using force? Try it. It's basically impossible. Date rape does not exist." That's the kind of guy Mike Cernovich is.
You're right. This is not a good person. He's a rotten human being. What this is it's like, well, they took one of ours with Roseanne Barr because, you know, she couldn't stop saying racist stuff about black people. She couldn't stop herself from doing it. So now we have to bring one of theirs down. And Disney buckled the pressure because they don't know what to do. They're in a no-win situation right now because we're like days away from the cast of Guardians 3 saying, no, we're not going to do the movie. This is going to happen. Like, that's what's going to happen. And then Disney's going to find itself in a no-win situation. And this is completely politically motivated. Because you let a guy who's a liar, who's a bad human being, run a smear campaign against you. And James Gunn is totally guilty of being not funny and making jokes that are completely inappropriate, which is the whole point of making jokes. But at the same time, like Bobcat Goldthwait kind of put it, said, hey man, I've made some horrible jokes too. Disney should probably take me off of the Hercules ride. And same with James Woods. Like, they stepped in some dangerous territory. Like, now we have no separation between art and artists. This is where the political climate has led us. And it's not a good place.
And let's draw a line here. This was James Gunn back in the, you know, was it 7 years ago and more, 7 to 10 years ago, saying things to get attention, jokes that were not really funny, him being edgy, but in no way did he actually believe or wanted to practice any of these things that he said.
You're interjecting conjecture here that you don't.
You
don't know James Gunn.
So
it's my turn. Okay. I agree with the sentiment that this is politically motivated, and unfortunately, you can't talk about this without talking about politics, and it's complete BS in that sense. I'm also with JD that I'm very torn about this whole topic because I enjoy the Guardians of the Galaxy movies very much. I enjoy his work. But when I saw the tweets and that they really bothered me. Like, they're really bothersome. A lot of them are bad. And it's not one or two. It was dozens and dozens and dozens of these tweets, you know. So it's just like, you know, the whole, oh, it was being a provocateur thing. It's kind of questionable, you know. That being said, you know, there is freedom of speech, right? Like, he didn't break a law by making those jokes. Like, he didn't do anything illegal. He just said disgusting things on the internet, you know? So, should he lose a job over it? No. You know, like, that's simple. But
he said these things 7 to 10 years ago.
Okay, but look at this. I want you to look at this. Mm-hmm. Right before he got hired to do Guardians of the Galaxy, see, people seem to forget this part. He came out and apologized for these tweets. Listen, and then he got hired by Disney, and all of a sudden he stopped doing those. Or he got hired by Marvel, and he stopped doing those tweets. But he also didn't delete them.
That's the big mistake.
So here's the thing. You know that before Marvel could hire him to do the movie, they did scrub his accounts, and they found this stuff. And Disney probably said, you've got to do something about this, or you can't have the job.
But what you're saying is that they already knew about them.
Yes.
And yet I'm not finished. Okay.
So he went out and had to apologize for them, right? So, but everyone's sitting there saying, well, he's changed. Has he changed, or was he just watching himself because he's now working for Disney and Disney is keeping an eye on what he's doing? Like, that's a question everyone needs to ask themselves when they're looking at this situation. Did he really change? Is he a really different person than he was 7, 8 years ago? Or is he just watching it? Was he just watching his back for the last 8 years because he's directing some of the biggest movies out there?
Well, just by dint of examples, okay? If he suddenly 8 years ago decided to start watching himself and make sure, he has to have the strongest willpower of anybody, because Roseanne worked for ABC under the mouse, and she continued to tweet stuff like this right up until they finally fired her. So, you know, and you could pull as many examples as you want. Yeah, he had to apologize for him. And like you said, Disney had to do a background check. They must have known about these already.
And I agree with that sentiment, but that's the issue as well that no one's addressing. They had to fire him because they fired Roseanne.
No, it's
the same thing.
It's a false equivalency
The social media has become weaponized in the last few years.
This is true.
And people keep trying to use it to dox people they don't agree with. And it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, both sides are trying to do it to the others. And now that it's finally bubbled up to high-profile people it's happening to, you know, Disney had – they had – that was the only play Disney had. Because they knew if they didn't, they were going to get backlash by people saying, well, you didn't – you fired Roseanne, but you're not going to fire him. But there's
a difference. There's a difference between the two, because Roseanne was constantly saying those things continually right up until she got fired. And she's still saying some of those things now. He hasn't said anything since 2011. So again, he's either got the strongest willpower of anybody I've ever heard of,
If he had a PR person that looked after his tweets, he wouldn't go as hard after Donald Trump as he does. The reason they went after James Gunn is he goes hard after that guy. Like, his tweets are very much politically motivated today. He is an enemy of the alt-right.
Yes.
That's why they took him down. Now, he did it to himself. Those things weren't funny. He shouldn't have tweeted him in the first place. But when you're trying to be that big controversial guy, you can't get angry when the controversy falls on you. But I'm not saying he does. I don't know if I'm saying he does or not, because I don't know. Like you said, what did he change? I mean, did he? I mean, like, it's not like this dude actually is what they're accusing him.
Right.
No, yeah, I'm not saying he's a pedophile, but I'm saying those jokes. You don't know if he still makes those jokes in private.
Well. Yeah, but if he did, then we wouldn't be hearing from all the cast members, because you don't work with a bunch of people like that over two movies and hear, you know, and not hear something about what he's like in real life. There'd at least be rumors around. This is Hollywood. There'd at least be rumors, or some of them wouldn't be saying, you know, I'm sticking by him, or Batista wouldn't be saying what he's saying, you know, again, you got to think about this. If they can pull anything you've said from any time in your past and go after you like this, that means that nobody, literally almost nobody, is safe. And that means that even if you grow past it, even if you are not the same person, again, Philip DeFranco is one of the big examples of that. That means that you're always damned for what you were and not what you've become.
Well, I think this should be a lesson. There should be, number one, your basic rule should be, if you can't say it to your mother, don't put it on the internet.
Yeah, and this goes doubly for kids. If you're a kid and you're listening to us, trust me on this.
And two,
your employers will find it later. This will affect your entire life if you put this stuff online.
And two, if you get hired, especially by the mouse, and they're going to own 38 or 42% of all entertainment after the Fox deal finally is completed, if you get hired by them for a high-profile project like Star Wars or Marvel or anything, delete your Twitter history at that point and just start fresh. Like, you know, it's that simple. You know, you keep your Twitter, just delete all your tweets from that point forward.
Can we pause and bring JD back into this?
Where is JD?
Exactly.
Did you mute us again?
No, he's not on. Remember,
I was muted again.
Okay.
I was about to say, it shows that he's still online.
I didn't see him, so.
Sorry about that. I think, not sure, I must have bumped the button this time. I'm really torn on this because, like I said, I really enjoy his interpretation of the Guardians of the Galaxy. The crime he committed is a joke, you know? And like,
and a bad one.
It is a bad one. It is a bad one. But I feel like, well, I do, and part of me feels, this is why I feel torn, is like I look at Roseanne and I think, good, you're a rotten person. You deserve this. But I mean, like, the crime is the same with James Gunn. I mean, like, the only difference is time. You know, he did apologize for those things. You know, who knows? I mean, who knows what really is going on or what he thinks? I don't. We don't. You know, I don't. I'm very, very torn on this. You know, selfishly, I just want Guardians 3.
But time is important, though.
It is absolutely, like,
if you're 18,
time does heal wounds.
If you're 18 and you tweet some really bad stuff, and then when you're 40, your employer comes to you and says, "Well, you tweeted this stuff when you were 18. We're firing you." Is that right?
No. That just happened with the pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
You know who?
I heard about that. What he was pitching at the time, and it
was a kid. He was a high school
when he was a high school kid.
And yeah. They found out while he was pitching, it was
right or something. Exactly. And he said, "Man, this was really lousy. This was not good of me to say." And I guarantee he says that now because now he's in locker rooms with a lot of people of different races, creeds, and beliefs, and like you. And he did. Now we have to take him at his face value and say, man, I was a kid. I said stupid stuff. And there is going to be a social media backlash. But the thing about social media backlashes is they do go away for the most part.
So I will. I also point this out that James Gunn is currently 51, which means that, you know, when he made these initial tweets, he was between the ages of 41 and 44. So my age, so I guess I can get away with making these jokes now, and then I'll just apologize for them in a couple of years, and everything will be fine, right?
Well, at the same time, like, look at Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane's made a career out of doing inappropriate stuff. I mean, like, he does. There's a pedophile character on Family.
Yes,
joke.
Look, you know, I totally agree. And Disney just bought that show because they bought Fox.
Right.
So,
and that ain't gonna change. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're all guilty. Like, every single person is guilty of thinking or saying or doing something. Like, where does the line get drawn? I don't have an answer to that.
Right.
Like, if the answer is that everybody's gonna lose their job because of some thought they've had at some point, that's a screwed up
place. It's not a world I want to live in.
Yeah.
So everyone on the internet just needs to chill because this is getting out of hand.
But, you know, again, but that's the problem. This wasn't just people getting upset and raging into the tubes. This was targeted.
Absolutely.
And again, they went after Patton Oswalt and they took one of his, he tweeted something that was a two-tweeter and they took the second tweet out of context to try and bring him down.
Two things with that. You know, because I watched the Philip DeFranco show as well, John. And the second thing is, you know, Patton Oswalt has a really bad habit of trying to do long tweets, especially before they allowed us more characters and
before they did threading
and not thinking about, and before they did threading and not thinking about how they're going to get cut up. And yeah, like, unfortunately, you know, but he should have thought that through just a little. That's all I'm saying.
Context is king, though. Yeah. Everything.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I agree with, like, Patton Oswalt, exactly. Context is probably the most important thing with those tweets, and it was just stupid that they tried to go after him. But with James Gunn, they were just tweets. It's not like they were taken out of context, though.
So. No, he's absolutely... He screwed up royally. Like, again, not funny, not good. But at the same time, the man already apologized for it. So, you know, I'm better. I'm trying to be better. And I get that. Like, I'm like, I do believe that people can change. Like, we have to. Like, I work with kids. I have to believe that people can change for the better.
You're right.
And so, like, I guess that's my qualm is, like, punishing someone for something that happened in the past that wasn't a crime is different to me than someone from something they did in the present. Yeah. I guess that's for me where I have to, I guess we all have to draw our line somewhere. Because again, we're all hypocrites on some thoughts that we have about something. You know, so.
Except for
I don't
me.
Know, man.
Kidding. All right. Well,
it's messed up.
It is. So any, look, I hate to throw this out there, but we should anyway. Any thoughts on who you might want to take over the directing slot of Guardians?
I have no idea. Joss Whedon.
Don't get me started on Whedon.
It would be better than Gennady Tartakovsky or, you know, whatever, but yeah.
I mean, someone threw out Waititi?
Taika Waititi?
Yeah, Waititi. Possibly, but is he too jokey?
I don't know. I don't want to see anyone else do these movies. I really don't. I guess if I had to choose someone, I think he's the one that can stand in the same style of it. You might be right. He might be too jokey. And I think that what the Guardians movies have done is they've really tapped into a softer side of James Gunn, you know, where it can be funny and then it can be incredibly poignant.
Right.
And I don't know if Taika does that. I don't know. He hasn't given the opportunity, really. I have no idea.
Well, part of that's writing. The other part's directing. So it depends on who can bring the writing to life like Gunn does.
George Lucas.
He writes his own stuff.
And like James Gunn wrote it. Well, we're screwed. Okay.
George Lucas, and he can make all of their powers derived from midichlorians.
Oh, no.
Well, I will say this, and this is, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. I believe this Disney did what they had to do. It was just a political move to save face on their part, and I wouldn't be surprised if James Gunn ghostwrites Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
He did already. Like, the script's done.
Oh, well, then there you go. So there you go. All right. Real quick, some other movie or TV and movie trailers that came out that are not Marvel and DC. Two that I wanted to talk about in particular. The first one continues the new let's get the crappiest animation we possibly can on Nickelodeon Cartoon Network. And that was Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you guys watch it?
Yep. It's fine. I think it's great.
What?
Yep. It's fantastic.
Are you...
These shows, not being completely serious, these shows are not, they're not meant for an older audience. They're meant to appeal to kids. And this is the stuff that sells me now. It might not be what we adults dig, but we're not supposed to. Like, parents aren't supposed to love what their kids love. Kids are supposed to have their own thing. You have to, it's like She-Ra, same thing. Thundercats, same thing.
Oh God.
It's
our childhood. It's being just destroyed.
It's exactly what it is.
I'll agree with what you're saying.
Like, it's not supposed to, it's not, like, the Ninja Turtles is meant to appeal to kids. My little 2-year-old saw one in the mall, like a poster for it, and asked what that was. And he was, oh, good guys. I like them. Like, it's supposed to appeal to kids. And you have to do this in a way that kids today want to click with. Like, the stuff, the Adventure Time style of animation is what's working right now. It's what sells. Go with it.
I don't know. I kind of felt like Teen Titans Go and became a big thing. Now everyone's just trying to ride that wave.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
that's how business works.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Damn it.
That's it.
Like, it's great. This is... It's taking a pro, cause it's not the designs, it's the property, man. It's what the property is about. If the spirit of the property stays in tune, then it's gonna work.
Yeah.
It's gonna be just fine. Like, they've done, this is the animated version of Ninja Turtles.
At least
like,
five. At least a fifth.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and in 4 or 5 years, they're gonna do another one in a completely different style. So who cares? Let this one be its own thing. And let this one find its own fans. Like, if this show is able to take a bunch of 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds and turn them into fans of that property for life, then mission accomplished.
Yeah. I don't know, you just said it was for kids, so me, with what I'm about to say, you're gonna, makes me look like an idiot, but the last Turtles cartoon that was just on the computer animated one was actually really good. Like they did a great,
they're all good.
They did a great job of tying things together and telling a coherent story and
a long arc story too. Yeah, a very long arc story.
Well, and that's the thing is if it doesn't work, Nickelodeon spent a lot of money on this stuff. Yeah. So if this new iteration doesn't work, they'll put on ice for a little bit and do another one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like again, it's not. I know geeks like us tend to are used to pop culture revolving around us and serving us, but it's true. It's totally accurate. It's true.
You're right.
Like, but then we get mad when this isn't for me. Like the anger is this isn't mine anymore. You're trying to take this away from me. Rather than saying, no, you have this. We're going to do another version for these guys so they can learn to like the property. And I don't understand why that's always considered a bad thing. You know, like kind of when people get worked up about these things.
All right. All right, I'll give you this one, JD.
Thank you.
Then last but not least, the sequel that all wanted but didn't realize we did. It's the sequel to Splinter, or Split, which was a hidden sequel to Unbreakable, and of course I'm talking about Glass. And I hope to God that this movie is good as this preview looks. What did you guys
About the same. It's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out. He's only got a few characters right now, and, you know, McClane's looking a little old there. I don't know. We'll have to see. But it looks good. He's been doing pretty well since a couple movies ago. It looks like Shyamalan's been bringing it back. So, you know, we'll see if he continues the streak.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the setup where they're in a mental hospital and it's a doctor comes in and she's basically saying, like, I deal with people who think they're superhuman. And, you know, so it's kind of like they're setting it up. My impression is they're setting up a world where superhumans don't exist or no one believes they exist. And now all of a sudden here are three superhuman characters that are going to be introduced to the world. So it'd be cool to see. It seems like a cool story. We'll see where it goes. Unfortunately, I haven't seen Split yet, so I do need to get to see that before Glass comes out. How about you, JD? You're being quiet.
No, I don't know, man. Night Shyamalan is 15 years ago or so, he was supposed to be like the next Hitchcock, and he's kind of fallen below expectations. I have not seen his recent string of movies. I think after The Happening, I was just like, I'm done. I'm done with this guy. And I haven't seen anything since. So I have to see Split, and I'm going to – the trailer looks pretty good. I mean, I liked Unbreakable a lot. So I think The Happening was the first time I was kind of like, what? This is stupid.
And does that mean –
The Village. Excuse me. The Village was the first time I said that.
And does that mean the follow-up to Glass is going to have sentient trees as superheroes?
I hope not. I hope not. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm always his Mr. Give guy. Give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what I say 9 times out of 10. I don't know. This might be the one time out of 10 where I'm kind of fool me once. I don't know. I got to see Split, and I'll figure out what I think about this one after I see Split.
Was that guy who only exercised one side of his body in Lady in the Water, is he going to be a superhero too?
Yes, and then there's going to be a guy who could see ghosts or dead people.
Yeah, and dead people.
He's built a whole universe you didn't realize. That's what he's been doing all this time.
It's kind of cool. Stephen King does that.
See? He's the Stephen King of movies.
He's a Stephen King 2 movies.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, there you have it, boys and girls. That is our take on New York Comic Con 2018 and some of the news surrounding the events of the past weekend. So here I'm gonna leave it up to you guys. Like I said, we want us to do more interaction on Twitter and give you shout outs. So Or even on our Facebook page, message us, put a post on our Facebook page. What do you guys think? Here's the question, and I want to know. What do you think of James Gunn's story? And, like, should he have been fired? Shouldn't he have been fired? And the follow-up question, of course, is who do you think can replace him as director on Guardians of the Galaxy 3? So let us know what you're thinking, and we will talk about it on our next episode. And so until then, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening. And don't let your cake get caught in the door. Have a good week.